Órale, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm your host, Jorge Martin, and today we are going to the land of liberty, the Liberty Bell, cheesesteaks, even the Rocky statue. Yes, yes, the Rocky statue. One of these days I'll tell the story about how I ran up the steps one time and didn't collapse at the end. But joining us today, el estimado invitado himself, Connor Miles from Sports Illustrated, EagleMaven.com. And he's also the co-host of the Eagles Unfiltered podcast. Connor, bienvenido. Thank you so much. You know what? Mi casa es su casa. You are in your living room. Enjoy. Let's have some fun. ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, absolutely, Jorge. Thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. I'm excited to talk football with you, especially the Eagles. I mean, I know that they lost 35-0 last night. Again, we're recording on Friday, August 20th. But, you know, I'm still having fun talking about the Eagles. Devontae Smith played. You know, that's so Eagles fans are hyped. Devontae Smith was out there. He wasn't injured anymore. So I'm ready to talk to you about some birds.
Well, you know what, and it's funny. I was going to leave out the game last night because, you know, I mean, preseason games, I never really look at the score. I watched like the first quarter of it until the starters go out, and then I'm like, okay, I've seen what I need to see, and I'll move on to whatever Netflix show or something like that I'm watching. But this has been a season of change, leading up to an off season of change. New coach Nick Sirianni, new coaching staff. You know, it's what has been the feeling in Philadelphia in such one of the more rabid fan bases. I'm sure you hear from them all the time on your social media accounts. But how have they been adapting to this new opportunity, the new coaching staff?
You know, it's kind of interesting to me to see how much they warmed up to it. You know, Doug Peterson was a Super Bowl winning head coach, the first Super Bowl winning head coach in Philadelphia Eagles history. He had some, you know, security here among the fan base. And when the job got pulled up right in front of him, it was shocking. You know, it was a soap opera to say for what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason, to say the least. I mean, it was fun to write about them for sure. It gave us a lot of content to the cover for Eagle Maven and Sports Illustrated. But, you know, now that everything's come down to earth, training camps progress, we're coming towards the end of it. A lot of fans are having confidence that this team might be better than what is nationally expected of them. And I do understand why. Nick Sirianni sounds like a guy who's ready to be a head coach. From what his introductory press conference was compared to what he is now, it just seems like the Eagles did get it right. You know, he comes in as a polished wide receivers coach, and he knows how to develop that position. And that's the position the Eagles have been struggling with since 2014, since their last 1,000-yard receiver in Jeremy Maclin. That's the main reason I believe he was brought into this job, is to help develop the young receivers on this team, help make them, you know, way better and get contribution out of the receiving threats than Doug Peterson has never really been able to get out of. It's interesting, the whole entire tenure that he was here, not a single 1,000-yard wide receiver. That's interesting, especially for a Super Bowl winning team and Super Bowl winning head coach. But with on the Nick Sirianni side, you know, it's still a wait and see approach for me per se, because you could say all the right things in the press conferences, but it all matters when it comes down on the field. We fell in love with Chip Kelly's mantra, his philosophies, his what he would say in the press conferences. But when it came to on the field and personnel decisions, he was sure that he wasn't meant to be in the NFL. So we have to see if Nick Sirianni is meant to be as a head coach, yet he has never been a play caller in the league before. So that's going to be a huge step up to do that. So in his first season, especially with his offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, who's unfamiliar in that territory as well. There's going to be some bumps in the road. Well, do I expect the Eagles to, you know, come out of the gate hot? Not necessarily. No, I think this team is a team that's going to catch some heat towards the end of the season and ride that wave where you see that they progressed a lot and you're confident in Nick Sirianni going forward. But, it's a wait-and-see approach for me, my friend, because, again, you can say all the right things at press conferences, but it matters what you do on the field. And he has the cards are stacked against him. He's filling big shoes with this, again, with Doug Peterson winning the first Super Bowl here. And he's inheriting a quarterback situation that, you know, maybe he didn't even expect when he came into the team. You remember when they hired Nick Sirianni, Carson Wentz was still on the roster. The initial thought among Philadelphia and the fans was that he was Frank Reich's best friend. It was going to mend things with Carson Wentz. Now they do a completely 180. He's tasked with developing Jalen Hurts, and, you know, it's still not even certain if Jalen Hurts can possibly be the guy. The cards are stacked against him, so we'll see if he's able to do so. This is the biggest test of his coaching career, but his background says, his resume from dating back from when he was a college football player, suggests that he could be that, you know, meant to be this head coach of this team, or at least a longstanding head coach. So a lot of fans in Philadelphia, the feeling around the city, Eagles fans, is that they're confident in Nick Sirianni and they're confident in this team. Whereas it's funny because his first introductory press conference, as I highlighted earlier, was, you know, nothing short of a disaster.
Well, thankfully, the NFL and the Eagles have a very good PR people to kind of help help the coaches kind of handle those press conferences and get them a little more practice on that. Yeah, they need reps there too. You know, they've got to handle the media themselves. But let's talk about the changeover in quarterback. You know, going from Carson Wentz, who back in 2017 he was looking like he was going to be the MVP of the league, and tore his ACL, and it's been problematic. Definitely had some issues early on with getting sacked. The offensive line was banged up. And three quarters of the way through the season, you get Jalen Hurts. It looked like kind of a Hail Mary, and then it was lightning in a bottle there for a bit. Now, we talked offline about what an odd lead up to the 2020 season must have been for rookies, especially rookie quarterbacks. No real training camps, no real – it just – you got Jalen Hurts with a full season to train and get ready and have a normal training camp. Hopefully he's over that stomach bug or whatever knocked him out of the game last night. But what can we I know he's got people excited in the fantasy community with the dual threat quarterback, that Konami code that we love to talk about. What could he be kind of like the next great running quarterback? Because I'll tell you the truth. There were times last year where I looked at him and I was like, wow, I feel like I'm watching Lamar Jackson 2.0.
He can be, for sure. His running ability is the physicality of his rushing style is unfathomable. I haven't seen it from a quarterback position before. Maybe the closest I can compare it to is Steve McNair, because he'll not only just run into you, he'll bulldoze you over. And if you ask my opinion, he's the toughest runner on the Eagles roster behind Jordan Howard. He's a very big bruiser type guy. The accuracy still has to improve. His footwork still needs to improve. And again, you know, you highlighted Lamar Jackson, who I think is a fair comparison as well, because Lamar still struggles in those areas as well, and he's still in the midst of his development. And I think that's the same progression you're going to see from Jalen Hurts type player, is that you have to work year in and year out to iron out the finer details, because this is a quarterback that came from 2-1 read offenses, get the ball out, not get your feet set. He didn't have to ever worry about that at Alabama or Oklahoma. He just had to get the ball out, or he had to run really quick. It was either take off or run, throw that quick read. So coming into the NFL, you know, no real offseason last year, no real training camp as a rookie, as you highlighted. Very hard to work on his development. Now you're asking him to go into a whole new offense, whole new coaching staff, rookie head coach, and then a really young offensive coordinator, first-year quarterback coach in the NFL. It's going to be a long hurdle for him to get to that point where he can really name himself the franchise quarterback of the Eagles. We won't know really towards the end of the season if this is the guy or not. But in the fantasy terms, yes, he's going to be the guy. I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes in quarterback 10 at least in terms of scoring, because the rushing opportunity is going to be there. It's going to be nothing but RPOs, I would think, for majority of the season for the Eagles as they establish an offensive rhythm and identity. So the dual threat of the rushing attack is going to happen there, especially Miles Sanders too. Miles Sanders can be the vocal point of this offense this year. I know his receiving ability has taken a downward spiral. I actually don't believe this coaching staff is going to ask much of him to be a receiving threat. So I think that does hurt his fantasy chances of being drafted in the first round. I wouldn't touch him in the first round, because I do believe with the addition of Kenny Gainwell, I know we're getting off topic a little bit here with Jalen. We're talking about Jalen Hurts, but
let's go to the running backs.
It's a mix of the rushing attack, because with the addition of Kenny Gainwell, he's going to be playing a lot on third down, and he's going to be their Nyheim Hines, Austin Eckler type role for this offense. And that's going to take it's going to take Miles Sanders off the field, and it's going to help Jalen Hurts out when they're deciding if they're going to run the ball or not, or throw it off to Kenny Gainwell real quick. So Jalen Hurts is definitely going to be worth all the hype fantasy wise, but in terms of being proven to the Eagles that he could be the long-term starter, I think that's going to be a week-by-week evaluation. You're not going to really know towards the end of the season if you actually are going to get a polished product or a guy that you can definitely build upon moving forward, because he's so raw in terms of his development. You know, Lincoln Riley was the first coach to really put his hands on him and say, let's tap into that quarterback potential. And the Eagles saw it too. Howie Roseman saw it at the Senior Bowl. That's when he fell in love with him. There is definitely quarterback potential there. I remember when Russell Wilson was coming out, people said the same stuff about Russell Wilson as they do about Jalen Hurts. Nobody thought highly of Russell Wilson at all. He was buried behind a depth chart behind Matt Flynn and Tavares Jackson. And then he just shocked the world at training camp. Jalen Hurts shocked the world for the Eagles leading up in practices into the season. The biggest thing that I've learned from the Eagles organization, the fallout between Doug Peterson and the front office, is between Howie Roseman wanting to go to Jalen Hurts earlier than Doug Peterson was willing to go to. I mean, if you recall, Doug Peterson announced, I want to say around week six in his press conference, that if he was to turn to Jalen Hurts, he would be calling it a season, waving the white flag on the season, and he doesn't want to tell that to his players. And if you're Jalen Hurts, you're thinking, like, my coach doesn't believe he can win with me in there. And yet he has to go and go ahead and insert him anyways. But, you know, Howie Roseman really likes the kid. Howie Roseman did draft the kid when nobody thought he would pick him in the second round the way he did. They're going to give him every opportunity. They're going to give him a chance. I would bet on Jalen Hurts this season for sure. I would bet on his potential. I think the Eagles will get there. But again, it's going to be a week-by-week evaluation. But in fantasy world, he's going to be that guy for this year. I would definitely think between quarterback 8 and quarterback 10 range.
And, you know, it's interesting, you know, it's you being an avid fantasy football player. I've actually seen his ADP drop in a little bit. I was seeing him go right after Russell Wilson and before Aaron Rodgers. And now he's dropping behind Aaron Rodgers, dropping behind Tom Brady, going in like the same range as Matthew Stafford. But those guys are all classic drop pack, you know, pocket passers. This guy has that extra edge. Yeah, if he has any kind of you know, passing, it's gonna be great. But I mean, gosh, I'm excited for him as well. So I'm glad you're fired up.
I think his ADP is a victim of, you know, the Devontae Smith injury. It did kind of scare the NFL world. And not only that, Brandon Brooks has been banged up already. This Eagles offensive line, when it's been out there so far this preseason, has been uninspiring. And then again, Jalen Reagor, yes, he has those crazy practice catches, but in terms of preseason, we haven't seen anything yet. So I think the fantasy community kind of cooled off of him a little bit after hearing all this news piling it on. And again, for the tight end perspective, Dallas Goedert's supposed to be the number one tight end in this offense this year, and he's done nothing in training camp to excite you. And Zach Ertz has actually outplayed him so far in terms of tight end production. You don't even know if he's going to be here. We'll come week one. So you still don't know how this offense is going to be productive, because the guys that you're expecting to be there to step up haven't been there so far. And if you're in the fantasy community and you're reading these articles, you're reading these headlines, I think it scares you a little bit. And I understand so.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's why I love getting this insider access and just taking us behind the curtain a little bit and being able, I mean, I'm in LA and I'm learning about the Eagles like I'm just getting it in the newspaper.
The beauty of podcasting.
It. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Well, you touched on the running backs, Miles Sanders, you know, Gainwell, Jordan Howard, Boston Scott's still there. Kerryon Johnson just recently got waived. So it's really looking like Miles Sanders is going to be kind of like the lead dog. Can you tell me kind of how are the touches going to get broken up?
You know, the thing about Nick Sirianni coming from the Indianapolis Colts, and I think the huge reason why the Eagles wanted to revert back to having the Frank Reich type style is, you know, we all underestimated the impact Frank Reich had on the Philadelphia Eagles and their success when he won the Super Bowl with the team. Him and Doug Peterson would game plan every night going into each game. And that's when the Eagles had their most balance. And ever since he left Indianapolis, you've seen the balance of their offense with the deficiency that they had at quarterback when they had Jacoby Brissett and elderly Phillip Rivers, is the rushing attack they were able to lean on. Marlon Mack exploded onto the scene in 2019. And then 2020 last year, the rookie Jonathan Taylor, the rushing attack, they've been around. I believe that they were third in rushing last year. Bring in Nick Sirianni, and you have, with the quarterback situation being as it is, similar to where it was with Jacoby Brissett, you have to establish the rushing attack this year to lean on, to balance the offense to make it easier for Jalen Hurts and the offensive line. So that's where you look at Miles Sanders and you think, what can he possibly do? And I think it's along the lines of Jonathan Taylor. Now, again, you seen what they did last year with putting Nyheim Hines on there, the 21 personnel, and also putting him on third downs and taking Jonathan Taylor off the field. I think it's the same exact role. I think the same exact usage, because Kenny Gainwell is going to make a huge impact. Boston Scott, I do believe, is going to make the team as their short yardage back. They still have a playing role for him. And again, I think following the Indianapolis mantra is going to be exactly what the Philadelphia Eagles do this year with all the guys that they have from the Colts. They've had Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor, and Jordan Wilkins. It's going to be something similar with the Eagles this year, with Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, Kenny Gabriel and Miles Sanders. And Kerryon Johnson, they actually just placed on IR. So if he comes back towards the middle of the season and he's healthy and Jordan Howard doesn't look the way that they thought he was going to look after having a stellar training camp so far and preseason too, because he's been looking pretty stellar in the preseason, if you ask me, in terms of pass blocking, they're going to go ahead and get rid of Jordan Howard and bring up Kerryon Johnson. So either way, they're going to have four guys in the backfield this year. So I do think that does hurt where you can draft Miles Sanders between the, I wouldn't touch him in the first round, to be honest with you, because I need a running back to be on the third round, be on the field on third down when I'm touching him in the first round. I just don't think that's going to be Miles Sanders this year. Kenny Gainwell, they love. They're going to trust him to play that Nyheim Hines role. They're not going to play soft with him because he's a rookie. They're going to get everything they could possibly get out of him in the backfield. So he's going to be a threat to this team. I would actually, if I'm looking at fantasy weapons for the Eagles, I'd probably go Miles Sanders, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, perhaps. But I would argue Kenny Gainwell is going to make an impact this year and probably be the Eagles' third or fourth best fantasy player.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, tell me about the receivers.
It's just up in the air. But other than Devontae Smith's going to get a ton of targets this year. He's going to lead the pack and be the Eagles' number one receiver target. So if you're drafting him in fantasy, I wouldn't even worry about it. And there is a connection there already with Jalen Hurts. Other than being together at Alabama, those guys used to practice day in and day out off the field at Alabama and off the field during summers training for college football seasons. And they did so after Devontae Smith was drafted. So the chemistry there, I know we wanted to see it last night with Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, and it didn't happen because Jalen Hurts was feeling sick with a stomach issue, went to the hospital for that and got checked out. Obviously was not tested negative for COVID, thank God. But, you know, that's going to happen this year. Devontae Smith's going to have at least, I wouldn't be surprised he gets 100 targets. I would not be surprised he gets 100 targets because the leash on Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins, Travis Fulgham is going to be so short. Those guys have to prove themselves. Greg Ward as well, too. Those guys have to prove themselves as productive guys week in, week out to deserve the reps they're going to be getting as starting receivers for this team. It's not set in stone that they might start that way at week one, but if they don't play consistently all throughout the season that way, they're going to start getting different looks for different guys, and they might still even bring in a veteran wide receiver before week one starts. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. So I still think Jalen Reagor has a lot there that leaves to be desired, and he reminds me, I hate to say it because I'm a big fan of him and I think he can be better than him, but he just reminded me of Nelson Agholor right now. He's a rhythm type player. His confidence definitely determines what he can do on a football field, and so far hasn't been that great. So we'll see, because there's two great practice videos that have gone all around social medias where excellent catches, like Odell Beckham type New York Giants catches. Like, of course we love them, but he has not been able to translate it onto the field at a consistent basis. And that's what the Eagles need to see from him week in and week out, to name him the wide receiver two, to don him that guy to be Devontae Smith's Robin. So right now, yes, I like the prospects of Quez Watkins in the slot. Jalen, because, you know, I saw that the fantasy community picked this up because the headlines were Jalen Reagor's going to play in the slot this year. And yes, he will. But not the majority of the time. They're going to be mixing and matching, putting receivers in different formations depending on matchups. It's going to be such indifference. I would still project Jalen Reagor to play more of the Z than the Y this year for the Eagles. But again, he has to earn the targets. He has to earn the reps. And their wide receiver room is completely up in the air. Travis Fulgham, what a dud this guy has been the whole entire preseason and training camp for the Eagles. Very upsetting, very uninspiring. You think after he caught lightning in a bottle. That happens with players sometimes, though. You know, there's a reason why the Detroit Lions let him go when he was bouncing around from the Green Bay Packers practice squad to the Eagles, being preseason cut and being brought back to the Eagles. Like, he's starting to show why. It's the inconsistencies, and, you know, his practice habits haven't been the best yet either, and it's been reported that he has lazy tendencies. And, you know, so far he's lost his spot to Quez Watkins as a starting receiver on the Eagles, and I don't believe he will be that this year. He only had special teams rep last night, the Eagles, in the preseason game. That's huge. So if you have any fantasy stock in Travis Fulgham, sell it quickly before people catch on, because I don't expect him to be a contributor for the Eagles this year.
Oh, fantastic. But you think Watkins, you know how at the end of the draft you got your dart throws, you think he might be definitely worth a dart throw at Lightning?
Definitely, absolutely. It's funny. I think fantasy football players listen to your pod will understand this. The Colts had such a plan for Paris Campbell. They had such a strong plan, not only just to be the downfield guy, but to do the end arounds, get him in space, do the screens. And he has not lived up to those expectations at all. Quez Watkins will. Quez Watkins is ready. We have criminally underrated Quez Watkins and his ability, and so has the NFL. It was a shock when he did go in the sixth round. A lot of people projected him to go in the third. That's the type of talent he is. When he gets the ball in his hands on screens, compare him to Robert Woods, it's nearly identical what they do in the ball with their balls in their hands on the screens and the yards after the catchability and how they're able to turn on the acceleration. Quez Watkins could play a huge role for the Eagles this year. It just has to be, he has to earn it. He has to prove what he's done this preseason. And what he did against Arizona, that Arizona screen was great as well. And he's more than just a speed guy. You know, he's made some great catches where he had to come back against Dallas when Jalen Hurts underthrew him. He came back and made a spectacular catch to bail out his quarterback and threw a really bad pass in Washington as well. Nate Sudfeld on the field. He would have had an easy touchdown if it wasn't for Sudfeld missing him on that target. And then in the preseason, Jalen Hurts missed him week one on that, and he would have had a huge touchdown, 98-yard touchdown. Would have had two touchdowns in that preseason game. So Quez Watkins is definitely going to ride that momentum until week one, and I do believe they're going to have a role for him. They're already making plays for him as is. He's with the ones at practice going forward, and training camp's coming to an end now. So, yes, that is definitely a receiver I would throw a dart at for the Eagles is Quez Watkins, because no matter how far Jalen Hurts can throw a ball, Quez Watkins is going to be the guy that's around the line of scrimmage for them anyway. So he's going to get some notice. And, you know, I know that he's catching fire in the preseason, but I don't think defenses are going to hone in on him as much as they will Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. So there's going to be opportunity for Quez Watkins for sure, targets wise. And I think he's going to take advantage of them. I would have more faith in Quez Watkins for fantasy football players than I would in Jalen Reagor.
Ooh, caliente. That was very caliente. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's awesome. You already talked about Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. Anything you'd want to add on kind of how the targets are going to flow between those guys?
It was supposed to be the Dallas Goedert show. You know, going into the training camp, they let Zach Ertz know you're going to be a third down target. That's pretty much it. And we're not going to do that much 12 personnel. Ever since training camp, Dallas Goedert has not lived up to expectations. He failed a conditioning test, and Zach Ertz has gone out there with a chip on his shoulder and proved to them that he is the best tight end on the roster currently right now. Talent-wise, it is Goedert, but right now it's Ertz from the way that he's been playing. So from what I've been told, he has meetings with the team, and they decided he's going to be part of the plans this year. They're not going to trade him, and he's going to have a role in this team. So if Zach Ertz continues the momentum that he has in training camp and he brings it over to the regular season and he continues up this momentum, they're going to be forcing them to play more 12 personnel again, and he's going to be taking away from Dallas Goedert's shine and making him less relevant in fantasy because, again, we're all expecting Dallas Goedert to be a top five fantasy tight end. If this training camp is any indication of that, he's not going to be that. It's going to be Zach Ertz again and competing with him for targets and pushing him. And I would assume if Zach Ertz can continue the trend that he's on and be in the security blanket that Jalen Hurts is already treating him as, he may finish his tight end eight again. He might be getting his fantasy relevance back.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Awesome. You touched on the offensive line, had some issues. Obviously, this was a group that had a lot of injuries last year. It was, you know, this was one, the heart and soul of that Super Bowl winning team. And then, you know, the injuries really took a toll last year, led to 65 sacks. You talked about Brandon Brooks. How is this? This group is rated number 14 going into the season. Based on wishful thinking for the health, how is the rest of the health on the team and the projection for the season?
I know they're playing cautious with Brandon Brooks, but again, he's already been banged up already. And with them putting Nate Herbig as the backup center, while Landon Dickerson, their second round pick, is looking like he's going to start the season on the PUP list. It's something to be questionable because Jack Driscoll does that. You know, he caught lightning in a bottle last year when he was playing right tackle, filling in for Lane Johnson while, again, his health was an issue. He's been the right backup, right guard, and he doesn't look good so far. I'm just going to be straight up, in the first two preseason games, he's looked terrible. So, Isaac Samuels has been banged up. Brandon Brooks has been banged up. You can't rely on Lane Johnson really to stay healthy week in and week out as much as you could anymore because, again, he's been banged up a lot. Jordan Mulata has already suffered an injury, but I don't really worry about him as much. It's pretty minor, but this offensive line, again, this team, like you said, this team is built through the trenches. They'll go as far as this offensive line will take them, but The injuries are already starting to show, and it's not even close to week one yet. So something to keep an eye on for sure. It's something to be worried about. I think 14 is a fair ranking for this Eagles offensive line. Yes, they have a lot of talent, but the health is just in question, and the depth doesn't look as good as it was last year. I know they added Landon Dickerson. I know Jack Driscoll looked really good. I know Nate Herbig looked really good in relief, but from what they're asking of these guys this year so far, they aren't living up to that task at all.
Okay, so that's to me, that's a little concerning.
It is concern. It is a concern. And it's a concern for Miles Sanders, a concern for Jalen Hurts. So I think that does hurt their ADP, and I think that's why maybe that's why also Jalen Hurts is coming down a little bit to earth in terms of ADP, because this offensive line is concerning. I am concerned covering the team, thinking because I know how much, like you said, they really won the Super Bowl because of the play of their offensive line. They ride a lot of this offensive line. They retained Jeff Stoutland, their offensive line coach, through two coaches being fired. They retained this offensive line coach. They know how important it is to them, and right now it is a concern because I don't know if you can rely on anybody but Jason Kelce to be out there the whole entire season.
Wow. Wow. Well, if you're going to have one, if you're going
to
have one position.
It is Jason Kelce to have, yeah.
Yeah.
But I hate to say it, this offensive line's production and its overall productivity hinders on Lane Johnson's health. If he's in there, that's a good unit. They don't have to worry about who else fills in. But if he's not in there, they're going to fall apart completely, completely fall apart. The rushing attack is going to be easy to stop for the Eagles. They'll have to rely on the quick passing game, which I don't know if they have the receivers to do so with, other than Devontae Smith. It could get ugly really quick for the Eagles offense and their fantasy relevance if this offensive line falls apart, especially if Lane Johnson gets hurt. So definitely that's something that, you know, if you have Miles Sanders, if you have Jalen Hurts, you're preying on Lane Johnson's health for the whole entire season in terms of fantasy relevance.
Awesome. Last football question on the defensive side. I always like to find out kind of, you know, this was a team that you know, struggled at various parts of the season against the pass a little bit. I remember that Devontae Adams just torching the defense. Yeah. But then again, that's Devontae Adams. Is there a place where teams are going to be really, are they going to be targeting the run? Are they going to be targeting the pass against this team? I'm asking this kind of like from a DFS standpoint.
I would assume that teams will still test the Eagles through the aerial attack because their depth is behind Steven Nelson. Darius Slay is abysmal, to be honest with you. Zach McPherson is a rookie. He's going to have the rookie transition where I think he still is a nickel corner anyways. Avante Maddox is not good. I'm just going to flat out say it. He's never proven to be a good slot corner in the NFL. He's proven to be a decent boundary corner when he's a rookie, but ever since he's never recaptured that play. And I think his true future role in the NFL is at safety anyways. So in terms of, you know, their corner play, they're going to be tested through the pass, but Jonathan Gannon specializes in cornerback room and the defensive back room. And that's the huge reason why the Eagles honed in on him as defensive coordinator of this team. Still a first-year defensive coordinator, still a first-year defensive play caller, but they're going to be playing a lot of cover two. Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod are great, stellar covered safeties. And they're going to be giving these guys some support over the top. Whereas with Jim Schwartz, all these guys were on islands. Other than Darius Slay, who at his point in his career probably shouldn't be left on an island anyways, couldn't really handle that task at all. I don't believe they still have the corners to handle those tasks either, but at least Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod will be support over the top when Rodney McLeod returns because those guys are great coverage safeties. So from a DFS standpoint, though, I do think this Eagles pass defense will be better than it was in years past, but it's going to take some time. It's going to take some chemistry building, and it's going to take, you know, Jonathan Gannon being what he's hyped up to be. You know, people look at him as the next already. I think it's funny because around our NFL circles, you're trying to find the next Brandon Staley now. You know, Sean McVay, when he first came out, you always want to find the next Sean McVay. Now you want to find the next Brandon Staley. And Jonathan Gannon can be the next Brandon Staley, but we'll have to see how this pass defense holds up this year. Because if he's able to fix this Eagles pass defense, then he may be a unicorn.
No, outstanding. All right. Well, I got a fun one to close it out. This being the Familia FFB podcast, it's our, as far as I know, the only Latino focused English podcast. We always like to close off with some food, Mexican food. I mentioned at the beginning, land of the Philly cheesesteaks. What are your favorites? And question number two, has anyone ever made a Philly cheesesteak taco?
I'm sure it's been created. I have family in Florida, and I go between Pennsylvania and Florida, and there's a million taco places in Florida. If you're from Florida, you know, everybody knows in Florida how it is. I'm sure that's been created. Not that I've heard of it, but I'm sure it's been created. But, you know, it's funny. All these Pats, Geno's, those are the guys that headline the place, but I love Tony Luke's. I think Tony Luke's is a great cheesesteak place, and I'm very underrated. And I think with Philadelphia fans listening to this podcast, they're going to boo me for saying Tony Luke's compared to those guys or compared to some other places there. But I'm a big Tony Luke's fan. If you are listening to this podcast and you're ever in Philadelphia, check out Tony Luke's for cheesesteaks. You'll love them.
And how about tacos? What are your favorite kinds?
I love shrimp tacos with chipotle sauce. That is my go-to anytime I get Mexican food, shrimp tacos with chipotle sauce. Any type of sauce you can put on the shrimp is always good for me anyways. But chipotle sauce is my go-to with shrimp tacos.
Oh, outstanding. Yeah, I had some yesterday, and it was just, I love shrimp tacos.
The best. Man. I can get them anywhere.
Well, we're going to close up shop. Otra vez, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Connor, please share with our familia community where they can find your great work.
Just follow me on Twitter at @ConorMylesSI. That's where I post all my art. That's really where I'm most active when I'm posting a bunch of NFL stuff and talking football with everything. Because where else? I mean, Facebook's awful nowadays, to be honest with you. And Instagram, you can't really talk there. So follow me on Twitter there. And si.com/NFL/Eagles. EagleMaven.com with my colleagues, Ed Kras, John McMullen, and myself. You can follow us there and read all our work. si.com/NFL/Eagles. And Eagles Unfiltered is featured wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen. Eagles Unfiltered. Thank you so much, Jorge, for having me on. It's been a blast.
Oh, it's been a blast, and I could listen to you for days. And that this is awesome. I'm gonna keep an eye on that. How often do you guys publish Eagles Unfiltered during the season?
We try to do it every day. We really try to just attack it every day. I mean, between going to the games and hearing the press conferences and having all these little tidbits that we just want to ram into an article real quick, it's so much easier. You just hop into a microphone and record it and upload it to your podcast. So we're really, you know, second year doing the podcast. So we're trying to do more expanded coverage with it this year. And we're getting really close. We do training camp updates every single day after training camp practice recaps. You can check them out on Eagles Unfiltered, obviously. And every single time we're going to have it at the end of the game, post game recap. So we'll try to do it every day.
Oh, fantastic. Mi amigo, thank you so much. So appreciate this. Muchas gracias. Everybody, eso es todo for our show. Special thanks to Anchor for putting our podcast out on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please make sure you subscribe. Also, find us on YouTube at Familia FFB. You can find our faces there. Give us a subscribe and give us a like on this episode. This is a lot to like on this episode. I mean, I always love it when people go into the nitty gritty on the fantasy side. Also, make sure you find our original content at familiaffb.com and find me, Jorge Martin 17, right here on at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter, and also at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram. Otra vez, thank you so much. Fue un gran placer. Enjoy the rest of summer, because football is coming. And everybody, todos somos familia. Salud.